Daniel, chapter 4. In this day in which we live, we have so many syndromes, so many disorders. It's getting harder and harder to really know what normal is. As a matter of fact, what is normal anymore? We have, there's HDDH and there's, that's high definition, attention span. We got all these letters. TMJ, OSUR. I made that up. In the military, I was with the Seabees in the Navy. And it was a mobile construction battalion. Well, in the military, everything is abbreviated. So it was MCB. Mobile Construction Battalion, MCB-1. We worked under Commander Construction Battalion's U.S. Atlantic Fleet. That would be CB Land. So we were MCB-1 CB Land. Got it? It's pretty easy to remember. Everything was abbreviated. You couldn't go absent without leave, or you'd be AWOL. Then there are others I don't want to mention to you. But there were a lot of those. It was all abbreviations. Those are the syndromes and the stuff that we have today. It's all abbreviation. You know, the Navy, the military is into abbreviation, but the Navy is so into it. They have a dictionary of naval abbreviations. You know what they call it? DigNavAb. I mean, you think I'm joking. It's a huge thing, and it's real. And here we live in this world where you got to have a pill or a drug or some kind of ceremony because, see, what is normal? Many become rich by dealing with those so-called abnormal behaviors. They get rich because there are therapies, there are group sessions, there are prescriptions, there are treatments, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And you know that. That's what the whole world is made of now. 3- and 4-letter problems. I read about a man, true story, about a man who went to his psychiatrist because he could not sleep. He got to the point where he could not sleep all night because he was afraid. He was just sure that someone was under his bed when he turned the lights off. I forget this. That's a real syndrome. I forget the letters. I think it's D-U-M-B. But anyway, it's a syndrome that you get letters for it. And people have it. And he went and he said, I know, I swear there's someone under my bed, but only when the lights go off. And so he turned the lights off and he literally couldn't sleep. He was getting up 15 to 20 times a night, getting up quick and looking down under there. And there was no one, but he'd know they were there. And so he couldn't sleep. Now he's going crazy. He tells his psychiatrist, I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. And the psychiatrist says, I've seen this. It's common. Don't they always tell you that? I mean, your arm could fall off and you're dying. And the doctor goes, that's very common. How come I've never seen it or heard of it? Oh, it's common. It's really common. Good. I think they say that so you won't cry. You're dying? Well, that's common. Yeah. The psychiatrist said to him, I can cure you. I've seen this. I can cure you. It'll take about 10 sessions at $100 each. The man said, all right. Made an appointment. He went home. He was telling a friend of his, he says, my psychiatrist can heal me. It's going to cost quite a bit of money. In 10 sessions, I think I'm going to be able to sleep and I can't wait. And his friend said, you can. I can do it for free. Yeah? How? His friend went home, got a saw, came back, cut the legs off the bed. I don't know. I thought that was pretty good. $5, you know, for cutting their legs. No, you did it for free. Why am I telling you this? You think, what's the matter with Bob? I told you, man, what's normal? What's normal? You know, what's normal over here is really bizarre down in the jungles in Africa. They can't fathom the things that we do. What's normal? What is normal? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, lost his mind. Did you know, by the way, it's very common throughout history, great leaders are crazy? It's true. You think I'm joking, but Charlemagne, Alexander the Great, Hitler, all those men were right on the other edge of loopy. Nutso. And so was Nebuchadnezzar, if I may use the term. Let's see. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and the wonders that the high God hath wrought or worked toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Oh, wow. Here we have, from the king of Babylon, the king, the greatest king. You are the head of gold, O king, the greatest king of the Gentiles that there has ever been, that head of gold, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. We have an official proclamation, notice in chapter 4. This is from King Nebuchadnezzar to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. We have a proclamation from the king of Babylon. To who? All the people, nations, and languages. To the entire earth, to the Babylonian kingdom. He ruled the earth, the known world at that time. So I'm sending out a proclamation. I want all of you to hear it. I want to tell you, he says, the things that the high God has done in my life. I want you to know that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is forever from generation to generation. I want you to hear me say that. I want you to know that, he says. I want you to know that the king tells you that the high God is the one that works the works, that the high God is the one who's in control. I want you to hear that, he says. In chapters 2 and 3, chapter 2, he had this dream. Wise guys couldn't figure it out. Daniel, because of the Spirit of God, tells him the dream and the interpretation. And what does King Nebuchadnezzar say? Whoa, Daniel, there's no God like the God you serve. But it was lip service. This wasn't heart. He wasn't saying, I belong to your God. He still worshipped all the different ones of his. But he was going, man, I'm impressed with yours. That's a pretty good one. And then in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire. And he said, we threw three in, but there were four in there. One of them was like the Son of God. And when they came out, he said, there is no God like your God who delivered you out of my hand. He took you in the fire and you weren't burned, and now you're out. There is no God like yours. And if anybody says anything bad about your God, we'll chop them into pieces and make their house a dunghill, which is a negative. Remember that. But that was lip service. He still hadn't turned to God. He still wasn't humble before God. He still didn't listen to God. But he was really amazed at what this God could do. In other words, what I'm telling you is God has been working in his heart now for quite a few years. I think, and you may not think so because you're too close to the situation, but you know that relative of yours that's not born again? You know that friend you've been praying for? You think it's never going to happen, never going to happen. It happened in Nebuchadnezzar. Which is a little bit of insanity, but it happened. God is working. And he says, and I want everybody to hear it. So verse 4, he goes on. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house. I was just relaxed, went to bed. Things were going great, in other words. He says that I was flourishing in my palace. You know, everything was great. What a great place. The kingdom is big. I'm rich and famous. And I was just relaxed. It's time to go to bed. I went to bed. Man, I was doing great at my house. And verse 5 says, I saw a dream which scared me, made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree, verse 6 says, to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream that I had. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream to them, before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Basically, here's what the king says. I want all people on the earth, all the people that I rule over, I want you all to hear this. I send out a proclamation. I want you to know. about the God of the high God, the God of heaven. You know, the one Daniel serves. I want you to know the things he did in my life. That his kingdom is everlasting. That his dominion goes from generation to generation, unending. I want you to know that. So let me give you my personal testimony, he says. I want to tell you what God did in my life. You know, when all is said and done, what's the old saying? When all is said and done, usually more is said than done. That's not what I was going to say. It was just a joke. When all is said and done, your testimony is one of the most powerful things you could share with people. Yeah, you can try and explain to them why there's air and why gravity pulls down instead of up. Unless you're in Australia. Then it pulls down instead of up. Think about that. I'm letting you think. We spend a lot of time trying to answer all these questions. Well, if God's a God of love, then what size are his shoes? We think, boy, there's one of them gotten shoes. Okay. Let's see. I think it's in Psalms where the blessed are beautiful feet. No, that's Isaiah. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know something? Paul, the apostle, three times in the New Testament. The New Testament's not that big. Three times. In just the books he wrote, Paul, three times, gives you his personal testimony. Let me tell you what God did in my life. How he changed my heart. Let me tell you how he blinded me for 3 days. And how Ananias laid his hands on me and I could see. Let me tell you the things God has done in me. Do you know that's the most powerful thing you could say to someone? You can try to answer all their questions and that's great. Although sooner or later you and I come down to the point of sooner or later someone's going to ask a question that you don't know. Because a fool can ask more questions than a wise man can answer. So sooner or later, you're going to have to go, I don't know. I just know he loves me and I just know he's good and that's it. And let me tell you how he changed my life. And you're going to be amazed at the response from people. Well, Nebuchadnezzar says, I want all of my subjects, I want the whole kingdom to hear the works that God did in me. I can say I heard this story about this missionary and this happened to her and wow. And this happened to him and woo. But you know what? When you say, let me tell you what God did. I was in Africa and let me tell you what I saw him do. What he did in my own heart. And people can't go, no. Because you say, oh yeah, that's exactly what he said to me. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he promised. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar's wanting you to know. I dreamed a dream, he said, that scared me. It scared me badly. And I called for the wise men, all the counselors, like he normally does. That's his routine. I asked them to tell me what the dream. I told them the dream and said, tell me what it means. And they told him, we don't understand. We don't know. Neb, oh, king, you know, that's a weird dream you had. They had no clue. But at last, verse 8. At the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. I named him after the god Bel, after my God, he says. Remember, this is his testimony. And he says, Daniel came before me. I named him after my God, and in whom, Daniel, is the spirit of the holy God. And before him, I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, verse 9, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you and no secret troubles you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. What a statement to make. None of the wise people could do it. None of the wise guys. So for some reason, Daniel's not there. So I'm going to guess the king probably called for him. Said, where's Daniel? You know, he's the second command in all of Babylon. Hey, where's Daniel? You know, I think he's back there reading his Bible again. Hey, would you ask him to please come out here? All these other guys couldn't handle it. It's the same thing that happened in chapter 2 when you first met Daniel. They couldn't handle it. And you've been working with Daniel years. And so he knows Daniel. He says, Daniel, I know the Spirit of God is in you. That high God that you talk about. And I know that you know these things. And so please, would you help me? Tell me. Notice, even though he doesn't follow God yet, he knows that the God of Daniel is a powerful God. He's seen God work many times. So, Daniel, could you tell me? He believes that because of Daniel's God, Daniel knows all secrets. Secrets aren't hidden from you. So tell me. Thus, now Nebuchadnezzar is going to tell Daniel his dream. Thus were the visions of my head on my bed. Here's what I dreamed, what I saw. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, right in the middle of the earth, it's this big tree. And the height thereof was great, literally huge. And the tree from that size grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, beautiful, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field had shade under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed by the tree. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. You and I would probably say an angel, but he doesn't know what the deal is. And he goes, it was a watcher, a holy one. Came down from heaven. And he cried aloud, verse 14, and he said thus, hew down the tree. In our language, cut down that tree. And cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the birds from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the animals in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart or an animal's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Weird dream. What did you eat before you went to bed, man? I don't want it. I dreamed this dream. It was a tree, a huge tree to begin with, a beautiful, huge tree. And it grew. Even from that point, it continued to grow, growing and growing until it reached almost heaven itself. It was so large, it was large enough and wide enough to fill the whole earth. It's a big tree. In Africa, we held services there up in southern Sudan. We held some services under one of the trees. And under the one tree, we would just hide from the sun. There were over 500 of us under just a few of its branches. That's how big the tree was. And now this tree he's talking about covers the whole earth. What a huge tree. Its fruit was eaten by everyone, humans and animals alike. And all of them stood in its shadow for shade, protection. Birds rested in its branches. Then he sees in the dream a watcher, a holy one, come down from heaven. The holy one cries out, cut down the tree and cut down off all its branches. Shake off all the leaves and scatter the fruit. But leave the stump. Leave a little of the tree left. And protect the stump. You got the brass, the bands, the iron. Protecting, in other words, the idea. Protect the stump. Take away the man's heart and give him a heart of an animal. And let seven times pass over. And then the final cry from this holy one. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, or for this reason, that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. What a dream. We learn three things. We learn a lot of things in this dream, but we learn three things that are powerful lessons. Listen closely. The Most High, that would be God Almighty, the Lord, our God, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Now, I want you to know, most people, to include many Christians, do not believe that. But that's what the Holy One says. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. In other words, God Almighty is in charge. He rules and he has complete authority and control. People today don't believe it, do they? Many people today question, well, if God's in control, he must be weak because look at this over here and that over there. No, God, the Most High, rules over the kingdom of men. And number two, the Most High gives the kingdoms to whoever he chooses. He gives those kingdoms to whoever he chooses. But look at number three. The Most High sets over these kingdoms the lowliest of men. Now, you wouldn't think that at all, would you? We think the opposite. You know, who become kings and leaders are those who are brilliant and who are great leaders. And no, God says, no, I put the lowliest there. You and I don't think that way, do we? Go ahead, do this. When you mean no. If I thought he was the lowest, I wouldn't vote for him, would you? Do you ever feel like God is not in control? Don't lie to me. Come on, go ahead. Say it. You do, don't you? Well, good news. That's just a feeling. Let it go. It'll pass. It'll change. God is in control. When you get that feeling, it's because you don't understand something or don't like something. True? I don't like this. Where's God? You don't go, I love this. Where's God? No one ever says that. Man, I'm happy. Where are you, God? No, you know, it's all, I am really bummed. Where's God when I'm down? It's a duck joke. Thank you. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. The Most High gives it to whoever he chooses. The Most High sets over these kingdoms the lowliest, the basest of men. Bottom line, the Lord God Almighty is in absolute control. My God, the God that I serve, is in charge. Again, we do not understand him. One of the things we're trying to do is learn our God. You see, even as a believer, as a Christian, things don't make sense to us, do they? And we try to explain to others something we have no understanding of ourselves. Well, where was God when? And we go, well, you know, it says in John 3... We can't explain our God. You see, his ways are so much higher than ours. His wisdom, I mean, our wise person is foolishness compared to him. And so the psalmist who realizes that is going to pray, Lord, show me your ways. If you do not show them to me, I will never understand them. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Teach me because I can't get to that from here. You are God. I can never explain God to you. If I could explain him to you, then he's too little. He wouldn't be God anymore. And yes, he is in absolute control. But you see, I don't understand what he's doing. And he's not doing what I want him to be doing. And so therefore, I try to help him out by explaining him. And that's a foolish thing. How are we going to explain what God is doing? How do you know what he's doing? How do you know what all these things are designed to bring about? Why would you let someone go insane for 7 straight years? You and I go, I wouldn't. I'd get them like a pill or something. Yet the Lord is going to allow this man to go out of his mind and become like an animal. That's no big deal. We live with people like that every day. God has taken the hearts of men out of them and put in them the hearts of animals. And they hate people and they are vicious and they are violent and they don't think with hearts or with the understanding of a human. They just, whatever they want. Okay, I'm hungry now, I've got to eat. I don't have the money. We'll take it from them. I'm thirsty now, I've got to get something to drink. You know, and look at the animal-like behavior of people. God's taken the hearts of the people out and placed in the hearts of animals. And animals just do what they're supposed to. Oh, it's time to eat. We eat. Who cares about if the children eat? We eat. And so when you see something like a hurricane like Katrina, you are not surprised to see people say, all right, here's a chance to get a big screen TV. And I'm thinking, everything's flooded. And you got this guy on television with two big TVs. Where is he going to go? What will he do with those? There is no power. Are you going to walk them to New York and hawk them on the streets? What? Where are you going to take that? I'm going to take it home. Your home's gone. Okay, well, I'm going to take it somewhere else. Right on. Good thinking, animal. For what purpose? I want it. What are you going to do with it? There's no cable. There's no power. I got a TV. Take out the hearts of a man. Put in the hearts of animals. Who just do whatever happens in front of them. That's why you see people kill others with no emotion. That's what animals do. Well, verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. I know that your God will show you. Daniel, I know you've done it in the past. I know your God is something. You see, God's working in his heart. He's not there yet, but God's working in his heart. Tell me what you make of this. Daniel, what does this mean? In verse 19, then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was astonished. He was surprised for an hour. His thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream of the interpretation thereof trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to your enemies. Daniel is stunned at this dream. God shows him the interpretation. He understands what it means. And he's shocked. Why would he be so shocked, so stunned? For an hour, he just doesn't say anything. And the king's thinking something like this. Well, you know, I have a tendency to chop people up and make their houses a dunghill. And I have a tendency to throw them in fire and hang them and cut their heads off and things. So I want you to know, Daniel, don't hold back. That's not going to happen. Just let me have it. I mean, don't pull any punches. Tell me what it means. And here's what Daniel said. See, Daniel's been working with this king years now. Well over 10 years. And he likes the king. He's a little different, but I like him. And he's been second in command, and he's been working directly with the king on a lot of issues. And he probably loves this king. I'm going to guess he's been praying for the king as he prays, because we know Daniel prays three times a day. And he's probably been praying, Lord, work in the heart of the king. Bring him to you. Let him know that you are alive. Lord, show him. So Daniel has a heart for this king. And Daniel says, King, I am so sorry. This, the interpretation of this dream, this should only happen to your enemies. This should only happen to you. I would hate to see this happen to you. In verse 20. The tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven and sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves are beautiful and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the birds of the heaven had their habitation. He said, that tree, it is you, O king. You're the tree. You are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches to heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. That tree you saw, King, that's you. You are the ruler of the world. You are strong and you are great in this earth. That tree, that's you. Verse 23 says, and whereas the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree or cut the tree, destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the animals of the field, till seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive you from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the animals of the field, and they shall make you to eat grass as a dumb ox, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times, seven seasons, literally 7 years, shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whosoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou hast known that the heavens do rule. Here's the interpretation. The tree you saw was you, king. You are one great, powerful king. And you saw that Holy One come down? This is what the Lord has to say. You are to be cut down. You are to be cut off, but not totally rejected. God's grace and his mercy will keep the kingdom for you while you learn a lesson. For 7 years, you will not have the heart of a man, but the heart of an animal. You will live like a dumb ox. In the field, you will not know anything. You won't know who you are or what you're all about or where you are. You'll be just like a dumb animal who just eats grass. You'll live and eat like an animal. My goodness. Until what? Till you know, look at verse 25. Till you know it in not just your head, but in your heart. Till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whosoever he will. Till you realize that God is almighty and nobody else is. Christian, why do we continually do it the hard way? God wants you to know that he is God. And he will show you, and I notice, one way or the other. Why do we always pick the other? Why do we know this is what God's word says, but even as believers go and say, I don't care, I'm mad now, I'm going to do that. Don't you understand the trouble that will bring you? Can you imagine eating grass for 7 years? Do this with me. No, I can imagine eating fries and look what that does to you. But grass? Like a dumb ox? Having no idea who you are, what you're all about. In other words, his mind is gone. He's insane. Or he will be. Here are the simple terms. Your pride, King Nebuchadnezzar, is going to bring you down. See, you think you've done all this. When he looks out at the palace and he's at his rest, oh, what a great kingdom. I'm the king. I'm the head of gold, you know. And all these things, your pride's going to bring you down. You think you've done all this. You think it's because of you that you were able to defeat Israel? Do you really think it's because of you, King Nebuchadnezzar, that you were able to destroy the holy city and God's holy temple? Do you think it's because of you? Do you really think it was because of your amazing military prowess that you have conquered the world? Don't you realize it was God the whole time? It's been the Lord God of heaven. And now he says God wants you to recognize that he is God and that you should worship him and give him thanks for all of this that you see. Wouldn't you think it would be a smart time now, person, Christian? Wouldn't you think it would be smart now to humble yourself and to recognize that everything I can do is because God lets me? And everything I have is because God has provided it. And everything I don't have is because God saw that it was better that I not have that. Some people say, yeah, but I'm really poor. And God, in his wisdom, says, yep, good for you. Well, I don't like it. Well, get used to it. Because I love you. And I know just what's good for you. You know what's good for me is the lottery. Hey, when you pray, do you actually pray for things that are bad for you? God, I want you to, like, I don't want to be healthy, and I wouldn't mind a car accident this week if you could really work it out. If you pray that way, you are mental. Most people don't pray that way about themselves. They pray that way about their friends. Yeah, he could use an accident this week. But most people say, Lord, you know, health, we're into that, please. And, you know, whatever you think is best, job, good job, high pay. Don't pay me what I'm worth, let them pay me, they think I'm someone else. Isn't that how you pray? Well, you don't use those words, but isn't that the heart behind it? But if you knew everything that God knew, your prayers would be different, wouldn't they? If you could see down there, far, or around the corner, your prayers would be different. And you know God is so good, he knows that. If she knew what she was asking for, she wouldn't ask me. I understand the heart behind what she's asking, and that's what I'll take care of. Aren't you glad God is good? And well, I've mentioned it before. Aren't you glad that God didn't give you some of the things you asked for? Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad he said no. Aren't you? Well, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to learn. Hey, Jeremiah chapter 9, a couple of verses, verses 23 and 24. Listen to these. This is God speaking. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Why? That I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Don't glory in your riches, in your wisdom, in your strength. Glory in the Lord. Why? That you know and understand God. Once you begin to know God, you're not afraid anymore. You're not afraid he's going to do something weird. When I was a young Christian, I was afraid he was going to do something weird with me. I thought, oh, he's going to send me to Peru where that bug's as big as your head. That's what he's going to do. Probably he's going to make me a missionary because I don't want that. In my mind, it was like, okay, God looks at a list of what Bob doesn't want and tries to fill every one of them. He's just the opposite of Santa, you know. I don't want one of these. Okay, give him two. I don't want to go here. Make him go there. That was my picture of God. And so God had straight on my picture. Is that your picture of God? Is that how he works in your life? I know a lot of Christians think of him that way. I'm afraid to ask him. So I've heard people say, don't ask for patience. You'll get it. Like you're afraid to ask God for something. Patience is good for you. In your patience, the Lord says, possess ye your souls. Last thing any of us want is patience, or if we want it now. Right? Glory. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. My God is in charge. I can't tell you an answer for you why he does some of the things. I can't answer why he allows so many things. But this I can tell you. He's changed my life. And he's been good. And he will always be good. And so what he does is good. Even when I can't grasp it, what he does is good. And it's always right. It's not blind faith. I mean, I have seen him work. So I know he will continue to work. Well, what happens? Verse 27. Look at verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by serving or showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy peace or tranquility. I like it. Daniel, he cares for the king. He's just now given them the interpretation of the dream, and without being asked, he now says, now, humbly, he goes, and I care about you, and so I want to give you some counsel. I want to give you some advice, king. Please listen to my advice. Repent. Turn to the living God. Turn to the holy God. And turn to a life of righteousness. Stop sinning. Well, in his language, what does he say? Break off thy sins. Quit it. This would be an excellent. God has shown you what is out there. Maybe you can delay it or put it off forever if you would now repent and turn back to God and stop sinning while there's a chance. This basically, now I know this may sound radical, but hear me through. This basically tells us something that we've suspected for a long time. What am I talking about? That a great deal, not all, but a great deal of mental and emotional instability is because of a lack of spirituality. Let me say it another way. A great deal of mental and emotional problems that we see today are actually the result of spiritual problems. You got it? Yeah, doctors may be able to control it with drugs. You know, bring you down, get you back up, flatten you out. But the truth is, there's a spiritual problem. There's a heart issue, and it creates emotional and mental disturbance, disorder. And it's going to create a huge mental disorder in the king. Repent. Turn to God now. Change your lifestyle. Listen to God. You need to serve the one and the true holy God, the high God. Now's a chance, king. It's good advice. Does the king take it? Look at the next verse. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. Took a year. He had a whole year. As the psalmist would say, turn back, O man. Forswear thy foolish ways now. Turn back now. King didn't do it. Daniel says to the king, repent now. Turn to the Lord today. And what happened? All these things happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. I ask you again, Christian, why is it that you and I have to do it the hard way? These have been given to us as our examples so that we can learn. But don't you catch yourself doing it the hard way? Good advice from Daniel, Christian. It's never too late for you and me, never, to repent. To just stop dead in our tracks and recognize God is the authority in my life. He is in absolute control, and I need to humble myself and begin to listen to Him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, follow Him and do the things that He says. That would have been great for King Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't happen. Well, 29. At the end of a year, 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Listen to the language. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon? Just looking all over the city from his palace. And he says, isn't this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You're a pride problem going on here. Mine. I built it. It's my power, my mouth, my might and by for my honor and my majesty. No, you didn't listen to Daniel. You should have said, you know, thank you, Lord, for allowing. Instead, look at this, man. I did all this. Look at that. Boy, people are going to talk about me. They sure are. They're going to be talking about you in the next few minutes. As a matter of fact. Because while he was still speaking, while these words were coming out of his mouth, the Bible says, verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field. They shall make you to eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. The same hour, or right then, was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and he did eat grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. He didn't have, you know, someone to do his nails. I used to file my nails. No, I throw them away. Oh, anyway. While he was still speaking, while he was saying those foolish words, my power, my majesty, all for my kingdom, a voice comes from heaven, interrupts him and says, excuse me, king, the kingdom is no longer yours. I'm going to take it away now. He lost his mind instantly. Instantly, he lost his mind. Just like a wild animal. Now, in those days, when you were considered insane, there were no places for you to go. They didn't have 72-hour lockdown so they could watch you to see if this was just temporary. They didn't have a place to put you away so that you wouldn't hurt yourself. What they did was they got you away from people because they thought it might be contagious. And so they would drive you away. This is the king. Get him away from society. Just send him out there. And so he ran out there and hung out with the dumb oxes and acted like one and ate grass. You just simply were kicked out and lived like an animal. If you lived, great. If you died, well, whatever. As long as you weren't around people because you weren't sane. This was the greatest king of all Gentile rule through all Gentile history. You, O king of the head of gold. The greatest king lost his mind when he said, this is my kingdom, my majesty, my power. God says, excuse me, I'm taking the kingdom. Because see, Neb, it's my kingdom. And he lost his mind and immediately was sent out to graze. And his hair grew. Of course, nobody's going to cut it. Nobody's going to come around him. His fingernails grew, probably curled nicely. Maybe he could watch the animals, how they scrape him on rocks to clean. I don't know. He probably wasn't that smart because he had lost his mind. This is a brilliant military mind. This is a brilliant leader over an amazing kingdom. And he has no sense. It's gone. For how long? Oh, just 7 short years. That would freak you and me if we lost our mind for 7 short seconds, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? 7 short minutes, 7 short weeks. You want to see grace? You want to see the kindness and the mercy of God? Verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. This is after 7 seasons. And my understanding returned to me. He looked up. And he recognized, you know who's in charge? God. And then he all of a sudden thought, where are my clothes? Oh, Lord. What am I? Grass. Can you imagine? My understanding returned to me. And what did he do? First thing. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honor him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stop his hand or say to him, what are you doing? He learned, didn't he? He learned the hard way, but he did learn. At least if you and I went the hard way, I hope today you're finished with that and that we've learned our lesson and won't go that way anymore. That we'll trust God and not walk in pride. Notice that Nebuchadnezzar lived this way for 7 years, not knowing who he was or what he was or where he was and not knowing anything. He lost all sense. He's completely mad, insane. Yet in God's mercy, God allowed him to live and not just live. But God let him have his mind back and put him back on the throne as king. Unheard of. He lifts up his eyes to heaven. When he does that, he's restored. Christian, you hear that? Non-believer, do you want to be restored? Is your mind out in the twilight zone like most? Look to heaven. His mind is returned to him. And the first thing that he does is praise God. I believe this king has changed. And that he truly now is a follower of the Most High God in heaven. And that's why he's giving you his testimony and wants you to hear it for yourself. He says, well, here's what's cool. He now praises God. You know, the last thing out of his mouth was my power, my authority for me, my kingdom. And it was taken away from him. Now, when he speaks again, notice he says his kingdom, his power, his majesty, his glory. He lives forever. He is God Almighty. He is in absolute control. And he says, and I like the king. He says, and no one can control him. Christian, do you hear that? No one controls God. I believe that firmly. I believe when we pray that we humbly request of God, we don't command like some of the teachers tell us on the radio and television. One of the teachers says, you command the Lord, you demand it because he owes it to you. That's foolish. Don't be saying, mine, mine. I mean, look what it got Neb. Instead, say yours. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The Lord is sovereign and he alone has power and authority. And you notice the king says, he is able. He is able. Let me read it to you. Verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the armies of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stop him or say to him, what are you doing? Now get ready. And at the same time, my reasoning returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was given to me, added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to bring down, to abase. How did he know that? Did he read that in scripture? No. You know how he knew it? First-hand experience. All that walk in pride, he is able to bring low. How do you know? Because he did me. I was walking in pride, Nebuchadnezzar says, and I was insane. 7 years went by, I didn't even realize it. I was allowed, listen to this language of the king. This is how I know his heart belongs to the Lord. I was allowed by the Lord God to once again sit upon the throne of Babylon. He let me be king. Now I'm telling you, he's the one that chooses kings. He puts them up, he takes them down. And Neb says, and he let me be king again. I was allowed by God's grace to be the king. And he says, so you know what I do now? I praise and honor and exalt the true king. I know who the king is. I know he's letting me have this position. But it's his. He's the king. His ways are true. His judgment's righteous. And anyone who walks in pride, anyone, he is able to bring them down low. What a great lesson for you and me. What an opportunity to do it his way. You say, you know, Pastor Bob, I have not been doing it his way for a long time. You know, there's good news in that. First, you recognize it. Now you know that there's a change that needs to be made. The counsel of Daniel says, repent. Turn back to God. Listen to what James chapter 4, verse 6 tells us. It's a reminder. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Wouldn't it be wise if he resists the proud like he resisted Nebuchadnezzar? He stood against him. Wouldn't it be wise if we realize God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, that we would humble ourselves? Just humble ourselves. To know that what I have, he's given me. Did I deserve it? No. Why am I? Do I live in America? No, I don't know. That was kind of the Lord did that to me. I wasn't born in America. He brought me here. He must have had a reason. We're still waiting to see why. I don't speak the language that well. American, that is. I mean, why are you in America? Why weren't you in Africa? Why weren't you born in Papua New Guinea, part of those little bitty short tribes? Why? I think God is in absolute control, and I think he's got a plan. That means he's got a plan for me, he's got a plan for you, every one of us. I really believe that. So I want to humble myself and say, whatever your plan is, although I don't understand it, whatever your plan is. And I remember telling the Lord, okay, I'll do anything. And he called me into ministry, but I refused to go. I refused to enter into ministry because I thought I'll never be godly. I know that, and I'm not. And I'll never know enough. I can't teach. How could I don't know anything, and I'm a fool. So, Lord, you've made a mistake. And so I refused to listen. I wouldn't enter in. I remember the pastor saying to me, I believe you're called to ministry. Fill out an application. And I remember looking at him and saying, no. And he said to me, pray about it. And I said, no. Because I knew in my heart the Lord had already called me, and I refused to do it. About 6 months went by, and he said, you ever fill out that application? I said, no. He said, fill it out. Just fill out the application. I really believe God wants you in ministry. And I said, no, I refuse to do it. I can't. I can't be as holy as you guys are. He goes, okay, I'll keep praying. But about a year had gone by, and he asked quite often. Finally, I think you guys know this story, but I actually put in that application to get him off my back, to make him leave me alone. I didn't want it. And I thought, they're not going to pick me. I'll fill out this application. He'll bring me up in front of his board of elders. They'll laugh out loud, throw it in the trash, and then I'll show him I was right, and he'll be satisfied. It didn't work that way, but that was my plan. And as a matter of fact, since I belong to the Lord, I've never gotten my plan. How about you? My reality right now is I'm way down in southern Arizona. That's my reality. I'm living in another world. How about you? You thought you were going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an Indian chief? Can you say Indian chief in America? Sure. And now you turned out to be something like to do with computers. And you're thinking, what happened? Where did I go wrong? I think God's got a plan for your life. I really do. Are you willing to submit to it and humble yourself and trust him in it? Whatever it is, he will use you, and you never dreamed that he would do that, but he will. And it'll never be big like some of the people, the guys and girls you see out there, but don't worry about that because, you know, the guys that are big here are little in heaven. You want to be big in heaven, be little here. You want to be great in God's kingdom, fight your way to the bottom down here. That's what Jesus says. Humble yourselves. Don't walk in the pride, because God is able to humble us if we refuse to humble ourselves. Learn from good King Nebuchadnezzar. I believe he follows God now. I think you'll see him in heaven. I think he'll be there. Well, I hope you and I will be there too. Have you accepted Jesus? Do you belong to him? Are you serving him? Go back and read through it. Pray about these things. See if this stuff is really right on. Let's bow our heads together.